And welcome everybody to Gridiron Japan. As promised 2 months ago, we're talking spring football, and it is John and BJ. BJ sitting at the beach in Hawaii. So, and John's in lovely Tokyo as always. And me, I'm out in the sticks in the rice fields down here in southwestern Japan. So guys, good to see you. And let's talk football, man. We had a weekend of football, and John was witness to quite a bit of it. I unfortunately was not. And BJ, he was also watching the game. So guys, yep. Let's talk spring league here, man. What's going, what happened over the weekend here?
So I was witness, but most of my stuff has been witnessed, unfortunately, still through a screen. The one game I was supposed to be at in person, the Waseda KO game.
Yeah,
ended up being cancelled because some of the KO University players were caught drinking after their match in Kansai, and they got booted from the team completely, and the team shut down its spring activities. So that's the way it goes in Japan, collective punishment, you know. So 18, 19-year-olds drinking, they're technically adults now in Japan, but they're still not allowed to drink. So that's the reaction to when stuff like that happens. So I missed that one. Even though actually Waseda did actually get to play a game on the day. Tokyo Gas Creators showed up and did a game with them. They beat Waseda 7-0. That game wasn't streamed or wasn't advertised or anything. It was just a kind of makeup thing, so the players' prep didn't go to waste. But we had a whole bunch of games, all kinds of interesting games. And the spring, the X League is back. And BJ has a personal interest in a non-Obic team. For the first time.
Oh, yeah. New fan.
So, your brother, his debut yesterday, and what a debut it was, huh? Like, it was limited snaps. Obviously, Fujitsu don't play the starters a lot in the spring, but they blew out Dentsu 31-0 easily enough. Second and third string mostly. But why don't you tell us about your brother's debut? What did you think about that?
Well, you could tell, I mean, the first play, right? He comes from about 15 yards in the back. In the, you know, the defense's backfield to get 2 yards into the offense's backfield and makes a nice tackle on the, that first play was just, you know, for me, I was laughing. Just seeing, you know, the rough year that kid had, having to sit pretty much to watch a whole year, sit on the sideline. And, you know, it was good to see him just kind of get it all out on that one play. And then, you know, two plays later, he does what he always does and finds the ball. And, You know, I'm always hard on that kid, but, you know, you're ever playing against him, you have to throw that ball on a rope. Because if you let him go get it, he's going to go get it.
It was funny, that play, I actually started, the way the camera angle was, he was just on the kind of center of the screen to start. So I was just watching him live all the way through that play. Mm-hmm. And I was like, as soon as like the play starts, I was like, the way he was positioned, the way he was watching everyone, I was like, he's gonna pick something off here. And like it just happened, you know. It was just like it was almost like it was happening in slow motion, you know. But an interception in the first quarter of his first game for Fujitsu. And it was interesting watching the Fujitsu game yesterday. They beat
the Dentsu,
as we said, Aaron Ellis's team, but Aaron is still not back in Japan. 31-0, but mostly their second and third stringers. Like, it was like a preseason game in the NFL, you know, starters get a few series.
It was interesting, right? Like, it was like the first, I think the offense was pretty much, I think a few starters on the O-line played, but it was mostly, second, third guys.
I saw defense. Joe played a
few. Yeah, JoJo played. Bronson. Yeah. So I think on defense, it was like the first team defense was like four guys were in on that first group, and then like four or five guys were in on the second group.
Yeah.
So they were kind of getting a good rotation of the vets, the starters, and then also the rookies, and kind of getting everybody's feet wet and all that.
And of course, with the games, you guys had a crap ton of rain too.
Ooh, yeah, that was
with those games.
Yeah, yeah. All of them were. Yeah, so actually there was. That one was the actual pitch or the field looked like a swimming pool, even though Fujitsu is normally pretty well trained, you know. But
it's been years since I've seen the field look like that.
Yeah,
that's what I was You know, I was watching the TV, the broadcast, and I'm like, dang, it's been a while since Kawasaki's looked like that.
It was heavy. I mean, I was supposed to be at a tournament all weekend that was canceled because of that. But and then actually it was one of the interesting things about that, watching it on the stream, was seeing who's back. Like, so I saw Clark Nakamura, Fujitsu's receiver, who went to Obik. He was back on the sidelines. It didn't look like he played. He's not even listed on their website yet, but he's back in uniform.
Yeah, 85. He had a few looks.
Yeah. I was kind of half watching it, but they have David Paroznik as well.
Yep.
I think he's racking up the collection of teams, the former US quarterback who's been in Japan. Yeah.
I think right now he's helping with the secondary right now.
Yeah. He was with, what was the last? He was with Obik last year, was it?
Obik, he was their offensive coordinator. I think he took over midway through the season.
Before that, then was Big Blue. He was with Rise.
Pirates.
He was head coach of the Pirates.
Yeah.
He was, I don't know, was he head coach, but he was on the coaching staff of Onward Oaks when they, and now defunct team, when they
won.
The-
yeah.
Dave is,
the journeyman.
Well, it's like, I mean, if he's been on almost, he's been on all of the major teams now. I suppose maybe Panasonic is the only one. He hasn't been on Panasonic, has he? You know?
No.
He hasn't been down to the Kansai teams, but if he moves down there, he could complete the set. Complete the cup. But then he had the Obik, your old team. They went up to Niigata, the other side of Japan on the coast. Mm-hmm. Heavy, heavy rain there again. And they
played a little mud bowl.
Yeah. 24-0 win there. Did you watch that one, right? You watched that one.
Yeah, and it was a complete opposite of what we saw for Fujitsu, because pretty much the starters were in until maybe about like 5-7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. You know, just kind of watching Obik and just looking at it, they're lacking depth in a lot of positions.
Oh yeah.
They only had two or three defensive ends.
Okay.
They only had at the O line and the D line position. They didn't have many numbers. I think Holden was the only American that didn't play, and I also caught a glimpse of their quarterback they currently have that they're trying out, but he's not on roster yet. So from what I've heard, they're not sold on him.
This is the American guy?
Yeah, they've brought in about three or four different guys over the last few months. And I don't know, I guess no one's really stuck yet. And, you know, that's, and then on the way, other...
That's their system, right? Every year, even if they're starters, they bring in more Americans to
compete. New coaches, but... same old, you know, same old. And then on the deer side, I think they did something similar to, you know, what Fujitsu and some of these other teams have been doing. I think, you know, their guys, Kato, Maeda, their starting running backs, I think pretty much everybody played the first half, and then after halftime it was second team and guys that needed to get reps.
Yeah.
You know,
for people who are listening at home and don't know this, like some of these games, like the Fujitsu and Obik games, were they're part of the Pearl Bowl, which is like a mini preseason tournament. Some of the other ones, like Nojima played Minerva, and that was just like, there's a couple of like just challenge games as well. But even the tournament ones, because of how teams take them seriously or not seriously, like nobody really cares that much about the spring. It's more of like a preseason type thing.
It's a tune up for the coming season,
more or less. Yeah. BJ said, like, Obik tends to take it more seriously, right?
Obik, from all the years that we've played, it was always, we have to win. We must win. We have to win at all costs. So, and just kind of watching the game, I mean, like, for me, you know, former teammates and stuff, I mean, if a lot of those guys play the way they are right now, I mean, you know, the season's short, but at the same time, I'm watching how this, you know, the new coaches there and how everything's being done, I'm kind of like, you guys are going to run your guys into the ground before you even really get going. And so, I mean, like, Ian I mean, on the deer side too, Ian didn't even suit up. You know, I saw he's hard to miss. Yeah. Big old jacket, yeah, bucket hat, standing on the sideline. So, you know, that it just goes to show that, you know, where the deer's heads, their American defensive back, I think he was playing like every other series. I think he even started playing less in the second half.
Oh, you're talking about Michael Hawkins, is it?
Yeah, Michael Hawkins.
Yeah, he's back. He was with them last year, I think. Right.
Yep. Actually, the most exciting game of the week was probably IBM and Tokyo Gas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was kind of for a moment there, it was like 7-7. And it was kind of like, you know, both defenses were like, you know, this is as far as you go. Like offenses would move. And then, you know, they just couldn't get it punched in or something. And then towards the end of the fourth or the start of the fourth quarter, all of a sudden everybody wants to start scoring.
So, yeah.
But
2013 to IBM at the end. But
yeah. And I mean, it'll be curious, right? Because they don't have IBM's really only got John out there.
Yeah.
Tokyo Gas doesn't have any Americans on the roster right now.
Don't they have? I think when I was at the stadium before Waseda played Tokyo Gas. Don't they have Kato?
Well, Kato doesn't count as a. I mean, he grew up and stuff.
But
he
has passport. Yeah.
So
right. He's Japanese, right? That's right.
So Kato is the only one playing, but you know, there are four spots that they have them for Americans. None of their Americans were there. So, you know, even watching that game, when it comes to the fall, I mean, both teams are going to be so much different than what we're seeing now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what you have to, like, you know, performances and scores don't really matter all that much.
Yeah.
By what some things teams think, because, you know, some teams are playing their backups and,
well, what matters is everybody's getting experience, guys that don't normally play, and also people avoiding injury too.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line between that's the thing about preseason and exhibition. It's a fine line. You want to win, but at the same time, guys need to get experience and nobody, you know, God forbid anybody gets hurt. So,
And I mean, same with, right. It was in an X League game, but we had Elecom and the KG Fighters play, and none of the Americans played on the Elecom side, right?
Yeah, we've had a few of those X-League and college games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was 17-0 yesterday. Elecom,
yeah.
And like the Tokyo Gas one I said, and then Silver Star beat Jose Orange, 21-3.
Yeah, that was without
your Jimmy. Team is playing, right? Your team is also your Tokyo University. Didn't you play Minerva
we'll play them on the 28th. Yeah.
20 days from now.
So I think that'll be good.
Like that. Good little warm. Yeah. Well, how does the prep for that work for a college team?
Well, for us, I mean, just with our program, we're actually really not focusing on game planning so much.
Hmm.
I mean, we have a lot of on defense. I think we're going to have 8 new starters, you know, 8 to 9 new starters. On the D-line, I only have one kid that has game experience. And I'm probably going to have to be playing about 4 or 5 of them in a rotation. And so our focus is more so getting the kids just fundamentally prepared to play the game and not so much worrying about, like, game planning as a whole. So that's going to be our approach. Just, you know, we play – this coming Sunday, we'll play Kyoto. The following week, we'll play Nichidai and then Minerva right after that. So, yeah, our focus is mostly on just getting, you know, our fundamental work in and just getting better as football players overall.
Just the overall experience for these kids.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm going to throw kids in the fire. I mean, these kids are no game experience at all. You know, so it's honestly just telling them, like, hey, you know, in practice, I say the same thing. They're like, look, I just need your best effort.
Right.
I just need your best effort. If you make a mistake, I can forgive that. I can forgive a mistake with you giving your best effort. So don't worry too much about messing up. I was like, because if you mess up, then you can learn. I was like, no one's going to get it perfect the first time.
Actually, you should probably mention, now that you're talking about this, you should probably mention why you're in Hawaii, in case there's anyone listening in that might be.
Yeah, I mean, So the reason why I am back in Hawaii is because I'm actually recruiting or just trying to find kids who would be willing to take a path outside of the norm. I'm looking for kids to recruit into my program. It's a little bit of a different situation than most kids would probably expect, you know, when a college would come to recruit them. There's no scholarships. There's, you know, there's no scholarship offer, at least athletically, right? Academically, right. You can receive a scholarship from the school depending on your, you know, your academic achievements and things like that. But, you know, just trying to help a program that's brought me in and, you know, that wants to compete for championships. And, you know, University of Tokyo, we have, so this year we'll have, at least in the spring right now, we'll have 60 freshmen coming in. And of the 60, one of them has football experience. And his position is a punter. So that's his experience. So, you know, that's the kind of players we're working with. And when I asked the head coach, Mori-san, what do you think about going to Hawaii to recruit? His, like, instant reaction was like, would you be willing to do that? Could you do that? I'm like, yeah, I can go to Hawaii. And so I'm here just, you know, looking for kids and seeing what else is out there, touching bases with coaches. And, I mean, this isn't limited to Hawaii. I mean, if there's kids, you know, in the mainland and, you know, back in the States that, you know, would be interested. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different route. You know, it's a bit of a more
so of a choice. For people who aren't aware, like the University of Tokyo, those like top 100 university rankings that come out every year, like it's mm-hmm. always somewhere between like 20 and 30, you know.
In so the world, it's right?
Yeah, top institutions. You know, it's a chance, an absolute chance, yeah. Not just on the field, but for life. Really
for life. Yeah. I mean, and just an experience that, you know, and like I've always, you know, I've talked about many times on the show, right? If you use football the right way, it's a tool that can open up your world in so many different right. ways. And so this is kind of the way I'm trying to approach this. I've never recruited in my life. So
this is a
learning experience for me and just kind of, but right now I'm just at the bare minimum. If I can just get in touch with these coaches here in Hawaii, most of them I know.
Right.
Some of them.
I was gonna ask you, what's the reception from the coaches? I mean, that's your in. I mean,
they either a lot of the coaches I've either played against when I was a player,
right?
Played, you know, they were head coaches when I was a player. There's a few that were like younger than me, but. Luckily, I had a little bit of a trademark back in high school with the red hair flowing out the back of the helmet. So that's actually where a lot of them remember me. You know, I've reached out to some of these guys and like the first thing they go, like, you know, they're probably looking at my profile, like reaching out to them on Twitter or Instagram and things like that. A lot of them, they're first like, hey, yeah, BJ, what's up? Where'd your hair go? That's like a lot of them, the first thing they say. So, but it's been good, you know, and, you know, a lot of these coaches, right? They want to, as a coach, right, you want to see your kids go on and do better things. So, you know, if this is something that they can also have in their tool set, right, to, hey, you're not going to go get a scholarship here. You're not going to get a scholarship here. But you have the academics to go to this school.
Right.
And I know a guy at this school. And so.
Have you been able to meet with it? Yeah. Have you been able to meet with any parents yet? Or is this just the initial stages and then the parents – will come dealing, you know, meeting with parents and stuff like that. That'll come later.
Yeah. I mean, if I can, I'd be willing to meet with parents and things like that. I think right now my focus should be on kind of making that initial meeting with the coaches and, you know, I'm only here for a short time. So trying to rush everything might be a little too overwhelming for some kids.
Right.
I remember the recruiting process and I mean, obviously it was different for me, but I mean, you know, it was at some points it felt very overwhelming. And this is before the boom of social media and this NIL era, right?
Transfer portals
before all of that. So,
hey, Greg, who do you think is going to have, now that they're in direct competition, who do you think is going to have a better recruiting class, BJ or Deion Sanders?
I have never bet against BJ. How about that?
No.
So they're competing for it.
in that situation, I will bet against me, because if
now you're in direct competition
Look at it this way. BJ's got nothing to lose, whereas Dion, I mean, if they're not undefeated, it's gonna be a failure if they're not undefeated.
Dion could, all Dion has to do is win like 6 games.
Yeah.
Well, he could win 6 games and it will, I mean,
well,
I
think season ticket, season ticket wise, they've already won.
They'll definitely win 6 games. It'll just be over the next 3 years though. That's the problem.
You know? I mean, no.
A believer.
Well, it's insane what he's done. And I mean, I know we're getting kind of off topic here, but
that's okay. I've never bet against Dion either.
The world of recruiting.
Well, I mean, okay, like, I love my alma mater, but we were 1-11. Mm. And when he got rid of damn near that whole roster and everybody was all up in arms, I said, no offense, you know, do you want to keep kids around that brought you 1-11? Or do you want the kids who are going to give you a shot at a national championship, a shot at bowl games, a shot at this? Because that's, I mean, as sad as it is, and I, you know, and obviously I feel bad for those players. That's the reality of it.
One thing actually about that, do you know if their scholarships are honored?
Well, they were, well, if the kids are on, I mean, when they're transferring, pretty much with the whole transfer portal, that's all it is now. Yeah. It's like your scholarship went from here to there and these guys are going to give you one now. And that's just basically what the whole transfer portal did. A lot of it, right, it kind of gave the players that, like, okay, my scholarships are here for 1 year, but if I don't want to be here and somebody else wants to offer me a scholarship, then that's kind of where the can of worms opened up.
But you were in that, like, for someone who was in that program like you, so, like, you know, it's not, if you're on, say, Georgia or Alabama or something, like, every single person on that team is, you know, the NFL is on their mind, right? That's what they're, like, for a team like Colorado, obviously, it's still D1 FBS, you know, it's a top-level team, but, like, what is the percentage of players who are on that team because they want to be in Colorado University, or, like, the ones who are picking it purely for football reasons, you know?
Well, put it this way, the program has gone backwards so bad that it was, these kids were coming because it was the only offer they were getting. Okay. And it was the only offer they were getting because we couldn't get a 4-star, a 5-star. Hell, even 3-stars were, like, hard to come across for a couple of years now. And the program's just been going backwards, you know, more and more and more. And, I mean, we were ranked 131st on offense, 132nd on defense, you know. So something had to change, right? And, you know. And a lot of those kids, you know, there were a lot of kids. You could tell the kids who were there and the kids who gave it their all, because when they jumped into the transfer portal, that's all they did. They were just like, Colorado, thanks for my time. Thanks for the memories. And, you know, but I'm transferring on. Then you had a few kids who were like, you know, oh, this, this, and this. And I was like, dude, you won. And I'm just, you know, I'm general.
But my thing is, you're going to have people that are just going to give up football, right? They're not going to get an offer and they're just going to stay in Colorado and just use the scholarship.
Well, there was a lot of, so for me, what I was hearing from in the program and guys who are close to it, a lot of kids were there happy, just happy to have Colorado across their chest.
Yeah.
Hell no, 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 no. We don't do that there. So, you know, with Dion over there and him doing what he's doing and completely flipping it, I mean, it's insane. No one's ever seen anything like this. He basically took a whole team, got rid of them, and brought in like a whole another 60 people. So
there is actually a Colorado connection to Japan in our news this week. So Shea Fields,
yeah,
the former Buffalo. So I think we talked a little bit about this, but the losing finalist in the Rice Bowl the last couple of years, one of the big two teams, along with Fujitsu, and probably a big three with Opic, obviously. But Shea Fields is back. He was with Panasonic. He's a Colorado Buffalo as well. He was at 20 and 21. He was at Panasonic. And then last year he played indoor football with the Las Vegas Hawks. He's come back, but instead of bringing back an American quarterback with him, the Jalen Henderson they had last year, he's gone to the GFL, the German Football League. He's with Potsdam Royals, from one losing finalist to another. Yeah, they made the German Bowl for the last year as well. But Panasonic have gone with James Gardner, Miami of Ohio Redhawk. Another wide receiver, guy who played with Bryson Burris, who was with Challengers, and I think probably Tyrone Jones as well. Bullseye. So, but they've gone with two American receivers and no American quarterback for this year. What do you think of that?
I mean, we're going to see. We're going to see. And I think, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, and I like the kid and I'm not knocking him, and I hope he is successful, but I don't know if Araki, right? Number 12, right? Is their starting Japanese quarterback. He was on the Dream Bowl team, right?
Yeah, but I don't know who they're going to start for the year. I guess it'd probably be him, you know?
I mean, you know, in the evaluation, let me just say this. There's a reason why he was the third guy on the Dream Bowl team. You know, and so he still has a lot to grow. You know, he has a lot to learn, I'm sure. Because one play that sticks out is we try to go for a 2-point conversion. And when we ran the trick play, he didn't really throw the ball. He kind of just ran out of bounds with it. And I was kind of like, well, dude, just at least throw it into the end zone. At least give us a chance to get the 2 points, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if he has a really good offseason. You know, it could be good for him to get his feet wet. I mean, they're going to play Fujitsu, but again, we don't know what Fujitsu is going to play like. Are they going to play full tilt? Probably not. He's going to have a lot of weapons.
Yeah. Araki and Ishiuchi, two Japanese quarterbacks. That's the only quarterbacks they have on the roster right now. You don't have to finalize it to the end of July, but I mean, like, they're not going to bring in an American now because they have two Americans, unless they cut, you know, one of the two, but
well, we've seen crazy.
Obviously, it's worked for Fujitsu, but Fujitsu, Fujitsu's quarterback is, you know, their Japanese quarterback is arguably the best quarterback in total in the league. You know, he's outperformed a lot of the American guys, almost all.
Well,
of
then you also gotta look at it too, right? They have Coach Greg there, who's the quarterback's coach, Pierre, who's the receivers coach. So there's a lot of good coaching around as well, and.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
From what I've heard, the reason why Henderson wasn't kept on was because he didn't want to do, and I mean, it goes both ways, but him and the OC were just kind of clashing in a way. And so, you know, that's one of those things where it happens, right? Some teams want a yes man. And when a player is not a yes man, then they're like, well, see ya.
You can actually, you know, that is the. You hear it a lot from people who connections to that organization as well. Like the thing, I mean, they obviously go toe to toe with Fujitsu every single time, but the thing that always seems to let them down in the Rice Bowl, especially
in coaching, is
decisions at key moments.
Yeah.
Decisions at key moments or like game. Like I remember last year in particular, I was following it on Twitter live and like a lot of the Japanese football Twitter. Like, there was a lot of decisions that were like, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? You know, so you just don't see that on the Fujitsu side. There seems to be, like, there's a very established pattern and culture. Like, they know what they want to do kind of thing, you know, to use
the English. Well, I mean, when we talked about it, right, when we broke down the Rice Bowl, and there was a point where Panasonic had Fujitsu on the ropes. And, you know, Tsubasa, you know, the quarterback for Fujitsu, was having a hard time. He was having a hard time completing. He was getting pressured a lot. He wasn't really getting through his reads. And at that point, Panasonic just tried to like put the pedal to the metal and was trying to like just throw, but they were incompleting a lot at that point. Fujitsu, they leaned on tried and true. They lead on to Trayshawn. And then sure enough, Trayshawn got going, gave Tsubasa the time to calm down. Then Tsubasa started coming alive. And at that point, Panasonic started reeling because they're like, oh crap, here they come.
Yeah.
Where
instead of feeding Victor.
Feed Vic. Vic had like a 78 yard run. and then doesn't see another handoff for like another like 8 to 10 minutes. So
It'll be interesting. I mean, the coaching seems to be not like to, you know, part of like, you know, coaches all want to win and everything like that, but that seems to be the a key factor in Fujitsu's success. So
just the time I've spent in the X League, time I've spent with Obik. I mean, a lot of times when we lose, I mean, it's one of the things, right, in the NFL, right?
Mm.
So if you looked at Obik and all those years, we went, 7 years without winning a championship?
Mm.
We went 5 where the same guy was the head coach. In any other league around the world, does that guy keep his job? No. But every year, it was always the player's fault. Oh, we don't have a better, good enough quarterback. Oh, we don't have a good enough this position. We don't have a good enough that position. We don't have a good enough running back. And it's like, you know, what is the saying? The true definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you look at Panasonic. I mean, maybe they're like, oh, maybe if we do a Japanese quarterback.
Yeah.
Because they'll listen to me, you know.
Well, I mean, they did win their last championship with one in like 7-8 years. So I guess, you know, back to the future for them. But
that quarterback had some game, though. We don't know about this kid yet.
Tetsuo
had some game.
he was a great one. They're actually going to face off, the two teams, for the first time ever in the spring, Fujitsu and Panasonic, June 10th, down in the Kobe Bowl. So, I don't know if Greg is going to be at that.
We'll see. We'll see.
Greg might be there. We'll have some photographers and stuff. I have other stuff that I have to work on that day. So I really want to go down for that game. I just love watching Fujitsu and Panasonic play each other. You know, I don't care if it's spring or not. You know,
It's always a good, yeah.
Yeah. It's the Japan classic, east to west. But we had another unusual game. We should probably mention the first time.
Yeah.
The Japs. Any part of China ever came to Japan, as far as we know. The Hong Kong Warhawks, China, obviously, the football changes every year, the league structure, and there's a couple been different leagues and stuff, but they play in the CFL, I think maybe it's called. I'm not sure what it's called nowadays, but Hong Kong Warhawks came to Japan and they played against Tachikawa Falcons, who are a team from the Japan Private Football Federation, which is like the smaller independent league, not the X League. Played out in the middle of nowhere in Ibaraki. Was the only field they could find. like a 4-hour drive from Tokyo. It was like really remote. But Tachikawa won that 14-13. It was rainy, same as all of the games recently. Tachikawa is the top team or anything close to it in Japan. But China is, you know, several levels below Japan in football terms, you know. So I think when we did the world rankings four years ago, the top ranked Chinese team that had gone unbeaten and destroyed everyone in that league, the Wuhan Berserkers, just before the pandemic started in Wuhan, they won that league. And they were like the number 225 ranked team in the world or something. So. That just shows you like the level. So, but Hong Kong Warhawks only losing by 1 point, that was a fairly impressive performance for them. So, and it was just
Got to talk about, you got to talk about that picture you uploaded. I was like, wait, does that say what I think it says? What, it was a 3-digit number.
Oh yeah, one of their players is wearing number 105.
Never saw that.
Apparently, I was talking to some of the Hong Kong guys. So, like, one of their players used to play for the Tachikawa Falcons when he lived in Japan. So that's why that game came about. You know, they have links there. But apparently, their team rule is rookies wear triple-digit numbers. You have to earn the double-digit numbers.
Ah, wow, that makes sense.
That's interesting, right? That's kind of like going back to what we're talking about, Dion.
Right.
If you want to have if you want to have that single digit, you got to be that guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's kind of a funny way of like hazing, like in a good way, right? Like, hey, you want to be 99? Well, then you got to wear 101 until you earn 99.
I mean, there's teams, some college teams in Japan could actually do with triple digits because they have more than 100 players on the roster. But you know, I've never seen I've never seen 105 in live action. So
it was hilarious. That's awesome.
It's unique. I'm not sure what position group 100 and the hundreds would come into, but
well, yeah. If it's anything like KG with all our guys that came out of the locker room for the championship this past season, I swear to God, it was just like
it was never ending, right?
It was never ending.
I'm like,
I'm like, there's no way. There's got to be a double up on numbers somewhere. It was like a Pez dispenser. Just all these guys came out.
The very first time I ever played them in the Rice Bowl, I was like, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
Like, they just kept coming out. And I'm like, dude, this entrance is like 5 minutes long. Like,
it's almost like the rest of them are going back out again and then coming through again. Yeah,
it's just running out. The coach told us to take a lap.
Yeah. It does look like that at times. Yeah. Nichidai as well. I know they had double numbers for some of their players in the past. That's about it. I think the only thing really we've left is like the CFL draft took place, but no Japanese players
drafted this year.
Unfortunately. So.
Yeah, there was three guys who were eligible for this draft. So Hidetora Hanada, the ex-collegiate sumo Yokozuna, he's eligible for next year's draft.
Maybe if the CFL finally gets their 10th team somewhere, there'll be more opportunities.
But I think they
I'm being facetious about the 10th team. It's never going to happen because they've been talking about it ain't going to happen. Yeah. Really? I don't think so.
I'll take that bet.
Well, the question is where is it going to go? Hopefully we'll have Jim Mullen on at some point here before the start of the CFL season, and we'll get his take on it because Jim would have, if anybody would be able to sway my opinion, it would be Jim Mullen. Talking Canadian football.
I'd have to look now at the actual numbers, but from like it's a global draft, so it's non-Canadians, non-Americans, basically. But I think there's 18 picks. They only did two rounds this year, so
yeah,
nine team draft per round.
Yeah,
and I think of the 18 picks, if I saw correctly, 16 of them have played like D1 football in the US. So. You're not even getting like we had in the past, like players being picked from the GFL or league or wherever. So I think it's the same, like we were talking earlier about the IPP, the NFL IPP, a lot of the Nigerian guys, Osi Imenora, who set up his thing in Nigeria and brought all those guys over. They don't have a proper league there. But a lot of them are now on NFL teams because, you know, obviously athletic and physical traits and, you know, potential. That's the way that league is going. But I think for players in Japan, it's really clear now that if you want to make a living playing pro football, you need to go to college in the States and play your football. Yeah. So the whatever little opportunities kind of seem to open up with CFL 2.0 and the IPP, we're seeing more and more like, you know, players like Ricky Matsui didn't get picked. So they're less inclined to pick players from foreign leagues who don't have US college experience, less and less.
And also too, there's language issue too, that also there's language issues, it a bit.
But I mean, obviously if you go to college for 4 years in the States and play football, you're going to be able to speak English, you know? Yeah. You know, I think especially for Japan, I think a lot of these young players, like if Hanada really wants to become a pro, I think obviously he's going to have to make the jump over to a US college sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably just that's the way it's going to have to go for a lot of players here now. I think we're going to get our first NFL player or more players in the CFL. Those guys are going to have to think about playing their ball, college ball in the States.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think you got to maybe even go younger. You know,
Obviously, younger would be better from a football point of view, but I mean, you're not going to get that many high school students.
Yeah, I mean, you never. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we had one. He's actually a former teammate.
Telecom coach.
Yosei. So, he actually moved to Hawaii. when he was in middle school. He actually went to my high school for a bit. And then, or he went to middle school at my high school, and then he went to St. Louis, where he's graduating this month from his, throughout his whole high school career. And, you know, and yeah, so my former teammate Mutsumi, I mean, he sacrificed a lot and he's done a lot. And I mean, and it's also his son can have that opportunity, you know.
Didn't he get that's all
San Diego? So,
oh, USD. USD, yeah.
Same as Adi and
Adi's old place, right?
Yeah, a bunch of guys, right, have come from there that played in the X League. So, you know, I mean, it just need an opportunity, right? I mean,
there's a got former one. USD guy who was drafted this year as well. Who was that now? Now that you've said the name of the college, I think that somebody who used to play in USD got drafted as well. You don't see a lot of players. I know they were talking about it on the NFL Network during the draft, like they were all kind of surprised by it. But Al Rilwan Adeyemi, and who else was it? Was it Mason Mills? Mason Mills.
Loka.
Jonah Hodges.
We just talked about him. Guy for the Deers, right? The DB. Didn't he go to USD? Oh,
Michael Hawkins, yeah.
Yeah, Hawkins.
Yeah. So like, that's been a very productive college for
Lawrence. Lawrence is actually
Michael the one Lawrence, yeah. Him.
Anthony Lawrence. He's actually the one that offered Yose, but then he's a head coach of a high school now.
Okay, yeah, so, University San Diego. So San Diego Toreros, they've So that's Yose Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
What position is he playing?
He was a slot receiver and a running back for St. Louis.
Okay.
Which is kind of like my high school's rival.
So he'll be with USD from this spring, right?
From this fall.
This fall, okay.
Yeah, I think he's just finishing up baseball.
Yeah, his father was like he was a coach at Elecom Finis, but before
Elecom,
that, was your played, team
played linebacker for Ovik, played linebacker for Elecom.
I think he played and for Futsu as well.
And then he's also at a. Is he at AS1 now? Black Eagles?
Maybe.
Yeah, he's at the AS1 Black Eagles. I think he's their special teams coach, if I remember right. So.
Yeah. So yeah, his son is, but that's the way you're gonna have to go. Yeah,
so
he could be the first NFL player from Japan.
You just need a little bit
just,
of
just need that place. One. Just need
that one.
Need that foot in the door.
Yeah.
You need. Oh, you know,
And just now that before I forget it, now that we've talked about this, the player who's come closest to being in the NFL, your old teammate, Nori.
Yes.
Kinoshita Noriaki. He just put up a video the other day. He's taken up flag football. He's going to try to make the Japan team for the Los Angeles Olympics in flag football. So.
I messaged him jokingly that I'm going to be the quarterback.
Well, he was actually, they had him throwing the ball. It was in that video.
No, I told him I'm going to be the quarterback.
Now, is flag football going to be officially in the Olympics, or is it still in a trial run?
I think they're going to, once this Olympics is done, because right, that's how it works, right? Like when you're the host country, right, you can kind of put in.
That system is gone. That's been gone for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everyone thinks, it's really weird. Everyone thinks demonstration sports still exist, but the last time there were demonstration sports was 92 in Barcelona. It's just because China ran a competition with like wushu and stuff, but it wasn't the Olympic. They just ran it alongside it. But
getting new sports added though. How does
they just get because, added?
Program. Oh, they just get added.
Yeah.
Because football is going to.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's what their NFL and everyone is pushing for because it's open to everyone, right?
Yeah. And then before we wrap up, guys, real quickly for everybody who is, everybody who watches Japanese football, X League, basically the price of watching it is going up this year. If you have a package, I mean, all of us here have our package here. We just got notices from the X League that the price of coverage is going up, but I guess we get added bonus coverage too, right, John? So, of colleges, and I mean, there's a whole lot that went into this.
So the X League had its own system, X League TV, and it was, you know, a streaming service that cost about 5,800 yen, $50, $45, $50, depending on time of year, for the year pass. But the quality of that at times wasn't great, and there were some complaints about sometimes games would be dropped or you wouldn't be able to log on or stuff. So what they've done this year is the service has been taken over by American Football Live by RTV. So RTV is this Kansai-based company, the Osaka area, and they've been streaming football for years.
Yeah.
They sell DVDs. They have a whole like
streaming. Yeah, they've got a full pack. I mean, they do a lot.
Yeah. So they have, but they've almost always been like college-based around the college football, particularly Kansai College. And so now they have a new X League TV has been integrated into their system, and they have two packages now. A monthly one, which costs 1,900 yen a month.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? Let me see. Where is the? Yeah, it is 1,900 yen a month. Or you can get the yearly plan, which is 19,800 yen a month. And basically, that's the only two options. You can buy a month-by-month one, or you can buy the yearly one. So, yeah, the X League TV has gone from 5,800 a year to 19,800 a year. But you also get all of the Kansai College football.
Yeah, I was going to say you get more than what you had before.
You can't separate it anymore, so there's no just X League anymore. If anyone had subscribed to X League TV last year for the yearly plan, they should have gotten an email with a code that allows them to switch the remaining time in that yearly package, which runs up to the end of August, for free over to the new service. So I just did that this morning and it works. Yesterday I did that and I was able to watch the Fujitsu game. So you just put in the code, you pick the monthly plan, and it will give you the next 3 or 4 months free. And then from September, anyone who wants to watch the X League will just have to join the full plan, either monthly or yearly. So, and you can watch it from abroad. We've confirmed that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. BJ was our test case.
Yeah. So the website is live.amefootlive. So live.amefootlive.jp. That's the site for the all football streaming basically now in Japan. And it's all Japanese, but you know, you can use Google Translate in your browser or whatever. And I'm not sure if they have an English sign up page or you have to go through it, but it's pretty.
And this is for the major ones too. I know a lot of the minor, you know, the X2, the X3, and some of the other colleges, they're still offering games for free live on YouTube. So
yeah, the lower divisions and the other leagues and stuff like that, they either use like one of the free YouTube streamers or stream it themselves on YouTube or something. But like for all the main college and X League games in Japan, you'll now need that new system. And the quality of the camera work is better. And generally speaking, the graphics, the audio, the sound. Although, I mean, yesterday there were a couple of instances, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the coverage of Japanese games by here in Japan, it is still way better quality than watching, and I'm old school, watching a Division I AA game in the States on ESPN Plus. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I watch my alma mater all, you know. It was a bad year. We were 0-10 or 0-11 or something like that. But just the quality on those college games. I mean, the quality of the gym. Pardon me?
I said you got to go find your Coach Prime.
Oh, dude. It was brutal. And on top of that, the uniforms for Western suck, too. I'm not. That was, yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so no, it's.
If you sign up to the new X League TV, you should also mention like all last year's games are there in full, and also the US Japan Dream Bowl, the Rice Bowl, and the ones that were not streamed live. So you can watch all those in full as well. There's a documentary about Ricky Matsui in the NFL IPP. There's training videos, Kaizen.
This is on the new system.
Yeah, you could scroll down. They have a whole new thing. They used to have a phone app, but that's gone now. So it's all just through the website.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is there a phone app? Does this?
They had up to last year, but whatever way they've changed the service and the system, the phone app is now gone. Right. So you have
to. And the other part is too, if you're gonna watch, like I've got Google TV here in Japan. We don't have Roku, or we've got smart TVs here in Japan. But the thing is, it's not Roku, it's Google TV. So I'm the comms guy here for the podcast. So my job will be to figure out the app issue, to figure out how to get it through the TV. And then, as we go along towards the season with the CFL, VPNs and stuff like that. So if anybody's got any questions about any how to connect or anything, feel free to drop me a line and just gridironjapan@gmail.com. So,
all right. I think we covered
it. All right, gentlemen. Well, listen, hey, it's been good spending an afternoon with you guys. I know everybody's busy. John, you got to get out of here, and I got to go make a run to the post office. So with all that said, we will be talking to you soon with hopefully more. Well, when's our next slate of games? We got games coming up here this coming weekend before we leave.
So the Pearl Bowl and the Green Bowl and those finish. So I'm just looking at, Panthers are coming up on the 14th.
We got three games on the 14th.
Yeah. And also then, so you have, the Suns and Panasonic Impulse. So there's three games, but you also have the college ones. So Waseda is going down to play Ritsu Meikan, who actually beat Kansai the other day. You got Silver Star and Ojima. There's all kinds of games this spring.
Yeah. Oh, and the X1 area is playing too.
Yep. X1 area games are included in that. And there's games all the way through the rest of this month to early June, early to mid-June, and then we're on a break for the summer.
Cool. And before we let BJ go, BJ, any more episodes of Playing for Sushi coming out?
Yeah, it's not official yet, but I'll kind of give the sneak peek. But we're planning to have Hanada sit down with us.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and, try to have some new ideas. Maybe, I don't know, we're thinking of something to make it more fun, kind of bring in more people. talking about maybe doing it with a live audience.
Oh, nice.
So,
Oh, yeah, because from today is May 8th as we're recording this, Japan's final COVID restrictions are dropped. And so there are no more COVID restrictions in Japan from today. It's now seasonal.
So when I come back, I don't need to take a test.
Don't need vaccination or anything.
Yeah. You don't need to do that. The Haneda shuffle, as I like to call it.
Yeah. So, trying to work on it, trying to make some fun things. Might be a little bit different than last year, but try to be more creative and just make things more fun. So we got some stuff planned.
Nice.
Cool. Well, guys, hey, thanks for sitting down with, thanks for sitting down today. It's been, 2 months has been too long. So hopefully we'll be doing this sooner rather than later. And on behalf of John, BJ, and myself, thank you for listening, and we will be talking to you very soon. Bye-bye.